Let's open up our Bibles to Proverbs chapter 8. I didn't realize that Paul was going to read that this morning. I actually didn't either until just when I got here, but I want to pick up actually in verse 13 before we get into our message this morning. So if you're there, if you have your Bibles, this is added to, so it's not up on the screen because Tom didn't know about it. But let's just pick up in Proverbs chapter 13, or chapter 8. I'm going to start reading in verse 13. It says, "The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride and arrogance and the evil way, and the perverse mouth I hate. Counsel is mine, and sound wisdom I understand. I have strength. By me kings reign, and rulers decree justice. By me the princes rule, and nobles, all the judges of the earth. I love those who love me, and those who seek me diligently will find me. Riches and honor are with me, enduring riches and righteousness. My fruit is better than gold, yes, even than fine gold, and my revenue than choice silver. I traverse the way of the righteous, and in the midst of the path of justice, that I may cause those who love me to inherit wealth, that I may fill their treasuries. The Lord possessed me at the beginning of his way, before his works of old. I have been established from everlasting, from the beginning, before there was ever an earth. When there was no depths, I was brought forth. When there was no fountains abounding with water. Before the mountains were settled, before the hills, I was brought forth. Yet, while as yet, he had not made the earth or the fields or the primal dust of the world. When he prepared the heavens, I was there. When he drew a circle on the face of the deep. When he established the clouds above. When he strengthened the fountains of the deep. When he assigned the sea to its limits so that the waters could not transgress his command. When he marked out the foundations of the earth, when I was beside him as a master craftsman, when I was daily his delight, rejoicing before him, rejoicing in his inhabited world, and my delight was with the sons of men. For now, therefore, listen to me, my children, for blessed are those who keep my ways. Hear instruction and be wise. Do not disdain it. Blessed is a man who listens to me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the post of my door. Whoever finds me will find life and obtains favor from the Lord. And he who sins against me wrongs his own soul, and those who hate me love death." Before we begin, let's pray together. Father God, we thank you so much for who you are. We thank you for your word. Thank you for your love and care for each of us. Lord, we thank you so much that, Lord, that you just provide wisdom to your people. Lord, I pray that we would be diligent, Lord, to seek after you, and that we would find you, Lord, because our hearts are open to your word, to your ways, and to everything that you would have us to do and be. Lord, again, we just lift you up today, that you would be praised and honored and gloried. In Jesus' name. Today's message, if you've been reading along in the book, and if those of you who aren't aware of what we're doing, we've been reading through the emotionally healthy spirituality. It's just a whole way of going through what does our relationship with God look like, what are the aspects that we should be amplifying in our life, in our lives, and how we should be living. And this message was specifically, this chapter was about really just discovering the author says it this way, the rhythms of a daily life of a Christian. And specifically, he talked about two things. He talked about the daily office, and he talked about the Sabbath, and how that reflects in each of our lives. But really, ultimately, what we're going to talk about today is spending time with God. And I think that, I'm not sure about you, but I know for myself that sometimes that taking that time, whether it's scheduled, whether it's on the fly in a sense, sometimes that can kind of get caught up in the mix and kind of, in a sense, set off to the side because of all the distractions. But really, the key in today's message is making sure that we're spending time with God, that we're taking part in that devotional life that we're supposed to have, that we're taking time to pray to him, both corporately as a church, but then individually, that we're taking that time to spend with him in prayer. And another big key element of what was talked about in the chapter, if you've read that, and I think what's important in our lives as Christians, is that we take the appropriate time to be silent and listen to what it is God is telling us. See, I think that sometimes we get so caught up in the distractions of life. I'm not sure if you have distractions in your own life, but I'm sure that most of us can say that there's probably a list that's way too big to even describe. But I think the point is that in the midst of all of that, we need to be scheduling and taking part, a portion of our time, of our day, with living that out for God and listening to Him and even just being quiet enough so we could hear His voice speaking to us. But if you're looking at your life and you're looking at the rhythms and everything that we're supposed to be doing, see, I think there's a lot of times where we kind of get caught up in all the stuff that we're supposed to do. Now, obviously, we have responsibilities at work. We have things that are supposed to be happening. But then you add church into the mix and everything that goes along with your relationship with God. That we're supposed to be reading that Bible from cover to cover. We're supposed to be spending, you know, an hour or two a day in prayer, and we're still supposed to be in the midst of all of that. We're still supposed to be serving others, serving our church, doing things that need to be done. But in the midst of everything that kind of happens, sometimes the priorities that we have in our lives kind of get out of sync. So how is it that we can really put that into what we need to be doing? How do we get away from that guilty feeling that we feel about all of the stuff that we're supposed to do but don't get done, and become a bit more organized as far as not having such a chaotic life? But I think that what we need to do is focus on ways that we can orientate our lives around God, that it becomes more than being a Christian is more than something that we do, but it becomes who we really are, how we live our lives. I also just want you to realize something about everything that I'm telling you today, that if there's any of you who are out there that have this figured out, how we are supposed to completely prioritize everything that we're supposed to do and somehow manage to get all of that done, I promise you, you should be up here, not me, because it's a really difficult thing to do. And anything that I'm talking to you about is really, it's the principles and it's what I would like to see in my own life and how I would like to communicate that to all of you. But I just want you to understand that we're all on this journey of being a Christian, and that we need to take steps, prioritize our steps, and work on becoming what God would want us to be. It's nothing that's going to happen instantly. I think that's another thing that we kind of get caught up in. I think sometimes when we become Christian to begin with, sometimes we think that all of a sudden there's a switch that gets flipped and everything that was wrong in our life is completely fixed and that we're never going to have any problems. And if any of you have been Christians for a long time, you realize that simply just isn't true. I've heard people say that you should accept Jesus Christ, and if you do accept Jesus Christ, then everything in your life is just going to be perfect. Well, unfortunately, there's a lot of people in the Old Testament that lost their heads being Christians. And being a Christian doesn't necessarily mean that everything in our lives is going to be perfect. But what it does mean is that we have a God and we have a Savior who's going to be with us every step of the way. And that if we orientate our lives around Him, it doesn't mean that there'll be forever happiness. I mean, of course, there will be in heaven. But it doesn't mean that everything is going to be just right as it should be. What it means is that God is, like I said before, God is going to be with us. But what we need to do, I think, if we prioritize our lives, is we need to take the appropriate amount of time that we sit at the feet of Jesus. And I think there's a story of two ladies in the Bible that most of us are familiar with, and that was Mary and Martha. And one of them was concerned about everything that she had to do in order to serve Jesus. And the other one was concerned about where she was, sitting at His feet. That's what her concern was. And obviously, Jesus Christ shares with us through that message, through that story, that His priority for us is that we spend our time sitting at His feet, that we are listening to Him, that we are seeking Him in our walk, in our faith, and we are devoting our lives to what He would desire. See, I think that we have to realize that if we are not doing that part of our Christian walk, if we are not sitting at the feet of Jesus, if we are not listening to what He would want us, then we're missing the whole point. And really, everything that we're doing is meaningless because it's done with the wrong motive or it's done with the wrong attitude. The attitude should always be that we have to live completely connected with God, that we have to orientate our lives around Him. See, I think that there's no way we can consider ourselves able to live the life that God created us to live unless we are completely connected with Him. God created us for His purpose and for His joy. And part of God's joy is knowing us and having us know him. God wants us to not only experience his love, but receive his grace and receive his mercy. And God, importantly, wants us to know his Son, Jesus Christ, and everything that he did for us. He wants us to live according to that. But there's so much around us that is distracting. There's such a world out there that wants to take God out of that aspect of our lives. And I think that we need to be very careful that we insist upon the right the time in our life that we can devote specifically to God. Because there's so many things that are a distraction and can be a distraction. And let me say this, that even church itself can actually be a distraction. Because you get so caught up sometimes in the doing of things for God that we forget about the whole aspect of being with God. Obviously, church is important. Obviously, we need to be involved in that. We need to be involved in what God instituted for each of our lives. But we need to make sure that we have that with the right perspective, that we insist on working on our relationship with him, and that we also take time to pause our life and to be centered on God and what he would want us to do. And if you look at it through the example that most of us are probably running this treadmill of life, sometimes it's hard to get off that treadmill when it's kind of going out of control, when it's constantly moving. But I think the point that we're trying to make here is that it's a process. That again, there isn't that switch that goes off where everything is perfect and the amount of time that you spend with God is automatically written into your schedule. What I mean is that there's a process of where we have to work through and we have to, again, prioritize and live that out as God would desire. So if we look at some of the ideas that the author of the book we're reading came up with was that we're supposed to take that time for that daily office, but that we're also supposed to, again, spend that time in silence as well, listening to him. Let's use this as an example, turning to Daniel chapter 6. I'm going to read the story of where Daniel was set up, really, when he was committed to God, when he was committed to his prayer life, but he was they were trying to basically take him out, and they found this way of making that happen. In Daniel chapter 6, it said, "It pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 satraps, to be over the whole kingdom, and over these three governors, of whom Daniel was one. And these satraps might give an account to them so that the king would suffer no loss. Then this Daniel distinguished himself above the governors and satraps because the excellent spirit was in him. And the king gave thought to setting him over the whole realm. So the governors and the satraps sought to find some charge against Daniel concerning the kingdom. But when they could find no charge or fault because he was faithful, nor was there any error or fault found in him, these men said, 'We shall not find any charge against Daniel unless we find it against him concerning the law of God.' So these governors and satraps thronged before the king and thus said to him, 'King Darius, live forever. And all the governors and the kingdom and administrators and satraps and counselors and advisors have counseled together to establish a royal statute and to make a firm decree that whoever petitions any god or man for 30 days except you, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions.' Now the king established a decree and signed in writing so that it cannot be changed according to the Medes and the Persians, which does not alter. Therefore King Darius signed the written decree. Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went home. And in his upper room, with the windows open towards Jerusalem, he knelt down on his knees three times a day and prayed and gave thanks before God, as was his custom since the early days. Then these men assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplication before his God. And they went before the king and spoke concerning the king's decree. 'Have you not signed a decree that every man who petitions any god or man within 30 days except you, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions?' And the king answered and said, 'This thing is true, according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which does not alter.' So that they answered and said before the king that Daniel, who is one of your captives from Judah, does not show due regard for you, O king, for the decree that you sign, but makes his petitions three times a day. And the king, when he heard these words, was greatly displeased with himself and set his heart on Daniel to deliver him. And he labored till the going down of the sun to deliver him. Then these men approached the king and said to the king, "Know, O king, that the law of the Medes and the Persians, that no decree or statute which the king establishes may be changed, so that the king may give command." And they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. But the king spoke to Daniel, saying, "Your God, whom you serve continually, he will deliver you." I think that when you look at this story here of what actually happened in the Bible's history, was we see that Daniel, you know, despite everything that may happen to him, was committed to his relationship with God. He was committed to praying three times a day. It was a habit that he had. But when you look at our own prayer life, I think that we need to consider what is the purpose of our prayer life? What is the purpose of praying? And I think if we look at Matthew chapter 6, when we see that this is how the Lord taught us to pray. He told us that, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name." If you look at each of those aspects, when we pray, we're supposed to be recognizing that God is the Father, that God is in control, that we're to honor him. He said, "Hallowed be your name." He said that we must really consider God to be that holy, sanctified, awesome creator. He says, "Your kingdom come." I think when God asks us to pray, he wants us to acknowledge the fact that his kingdom is coming, that he has our lives in his hands right here, right now. But there's a coming kingdom in the future where God will be there and God will be part of us. And he wants us to acknowledge that in his prayer. He also says, "Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." We need to be praying in each of our lives that God's will for each of our lives is taking place, that what God desires to happen, not only in our own lives or in our family's lives, but in the lives of our church and in this world around us, that God's will is going to be taking place. Also wants us to give thanks for our daily bread and ask for that provision. I think we need to be asking for that in the daily perspective, in a sense that sometimes we need to remember that each day in our lives, we have to depend upon God, that we have to acknowledge him as the one who provides for our needs. You see, if we knew where everything was coming a year from now, we would be less concerned about how it's actually coming there and how it's taking place. We need to remember that God is in control of our lives daily and focusing on that through our prayers. He also tells us to forgive our debts as we forgive those who debt against us. He's talking about forgiveness and asking for forgiveness, but also being the kind of people that are forgiving of others. God says, "How can I forgive you unless you forgive?" He wants us to be modeling that attitude that he have towards us. When we were in our sins, he wants us to forgive others who trespass against us. Leading us not into temptation, he says, asking us that every temptation, I think this is also asking God to help us have the wisdom to avoid the things that we shouldn't be involved in, that we should not be participating in. You know, I think that sometimes we can get so deceived by everything that's going on that we forget that what we're doing is actually against what God's word says. And this aspect of prayer is asking God to not allow us to fall trap into that. It says, "Deliver us from the evil one." I think we all need to recognize that we do have that enemy of Satan that is around us, that we need to be wise, asking for wisdom, but asking for God's help and God's guidance and God's direction, that we can avoid those things. So when you look at Daniel and what he did, Daniel prayed, as it said in the story, Daniel prayed three times a day. And he was so consistent with his prayer life that was the only thing that they could possibly use in order to trap him, in order to find him guilty of something so that he would be taken out of the mix. But I think another thing that we need to remember as part of that daily office is not only the words that we say to God, but it's the time that we take in order to listen to what God is saying to us. Now, it's important to note here that anything that God ever teaches us or tells us or says to us has got to be something that lines up with his written word. Because sometimes, I don't know if you've had people come up to you and say, "You know, I've received a word from God, and this is what he told me to tell you." Now, I think that we have an encouraging aspect that we're supposed to share with each other. But I think when God speaks to us, he speaks to us directly. Maybe it's through circumstances. Maybe it's through understanding of his word. Maybe it's through that still, small, calm voice, that whisper. God does speak to us in that way. And I think that each of our relationships with God are unique. I think each relationship that we have with a person is unique. Now, there are aspects of our lives, our Christian lives, that are consistent with everybody else. You know, God doesn't operate outside of his word. He operates inside of everything that he said for us or said to us in his word. But it's important to realize that we need to develop a rhythm, as the author said, but really develop a process of where we live in our lives or how we live in our lives, that we can listen, that we can dedicate that appropriate time to God. See, I think sometimes we can get caught up in the fact that maybe our communication with God isn't good enough, or you compare your own relationship with somebody else's relationship with God. But I think the point is that each of our relationships with God is unique, and God speaks to us in a different way because we have a personal relationship with him. Again, everything has to follow according to God's word, but we do have a freedom in Christ to get to know who Christ is individually. Is important that we spend time at his feet getting to know who he is. So when we look at Daniel, again, back into Daniel chapter 6, when you think about the scene and everything that had taken place in the history of the scripture passage, Nebuchadnezzar and the Babylonian armies had conquered Jerusalem. They had taken captive God's people. They had brought him into Babylon. They destroyed their temple. They destroyed their way of life. They were made into slaves. They were being trained. Daniel and his other friends were being trained, and a lot of other people as well, were being trained in things that they hadn't been trained before, whether it's myth or religion or literature. Things of that sort were brand new things that they hadn't been, and they were also not godly principles that they were being taught. The goal of Babylon was to take Daniel and his friends and the Israelite people and assimilate them into their culture, to do away with everything that they had as far as history is concerned with God. But I think that if you look at Daniel, in the midst of everything that was going on here, Daniel's goal consistently was, even though all of these distractions were going on, Daniel's goal was to remain a Jew, was to remain dedicated and faithful to God. And we see that he did this by setting up a routine in his life where he was devoted to God, that he spent time praying with him, that he spent time, again, working on that relationship of getting to know him. Daniel was given a responsible job because God allowed that to happen. When King Darius published that decree, Daniel's response was that he did what he had always done, meaning that his first priority wasn't to follow the king who he was under command by, but he was to follow God, who is his God, who he ultimately is always responsible to. Daniel's point, or the point of looking at Daniel, is that he had a habit, and that habit was praising and worshiping and living that relationship with God. It's recognized throughout Scripture that we're supposed to praise him consistently. In Psalms 119, it says, 7 times a day I praise you. He said, it is good to praise the Lord, to proclaim your love in the morning and your faithfulness at night, in Psalms 92. In Psalms 57, it says, evening and morning and noon I cry out to you in distress, and he hears my voice. See, the offering that we're to offer to God, the daily office as it's defined, really means the work of God, or the work of God in our lives. It's a quiet time in our lives where we spend being devoted to nothing else but what God is speaking to us about. And it includes reading his word, it includes speaking to him, but it also is a contemplative type of thing where it's considering what God is saying to each of us. It's, again, it's not something that can be accomplished in our lives instantly, but learning to listen to what God is doing, what God is saying, or how God is teaching us is learned by actually taking it into our lives and doing it. It's an easy thing to talk about, but it's a hard thing to actually put into place. But what we do is really we need to take that or figure out what would work in our lives as far as a time where we can turn off the noise that's out there. I've found in my own life a simple thing of turning off the radio in the car while I'm driving, so that we can focus on and spend time praying or spend time listening. See, I think that maybe we're nervous about structuring our lives too much when it comes to our Christian life. I think maybe we don't want to fall into that trap of having this legalistic approach to our walk with the Lord. And I think that it's wise that we don't have that legalistic approach to it. But when we don't set priorities, or when we don't set, if you call it a rhythm like the author calls it, or you don't set priorities each day, we can easily become distracted from the things that we need to be doing. So if you can think about your own life, even if it's something as simple as turning the radio off while you're driving, or getting up a little bit earlier, or staying up a little bit later, or sneaking out, you know, to take a walk where you can spend time with God. The point is not to have this be some sort of mystical experience. The idea behind this whole thing is to set up times in your life, in your daily routine, where you are taking that time to be with God. The purpose of the daily office is to, again, give God that place of honor, that place of respect, that place of priority in each of our lives. It doesn't have to be, again, it doesn't have to be something that is an hour long or 2 hours long, but what it has to do, or what it has to be, is something that is intentional, and that we work on it. Again, not following like a legalistic schedule, but that we find time, and we find time to set that as a priority, to truly experience God's love and God's relationship with us, and getting to know Him, and listening to just what it is that he is telling us and what He's teaching us. The second part, again, if you've been reading and following along with the book and the chapter, the second part that he talked about in this chapter was the Sabbath, and specifically taking the Sabbath as a command from God. And I'm not sure if you've gotten to the point where you've read that chapter or not, but I would have to say this for myself, that I don't really agree with that part of the book. See, I think that the Sabbath, as far as today is concerned, as a command, is no longer binding on the Christian. The Sabbath was something that was given specifically to the Jews after they were taken out of captivity. God instituted what we can call the Mosaic Covenant, where he set up the law. He set up the Ten Commandments, and part of the Ten Commandments included taking that Sabbath day's rest. But I think the big difference that we get into in our lives right now is that when we accept Christ as our Savior, we accept His comfort, His rest, His peace. We have that eternal rest in Him when we accept Him. So I think we have moved away from that law, or that Mosaic law, which included obeying the Sabbath, and moved into the new covenant, where Christ is the leader and the ruler of our life. But I think that there are some aspects of what he was talking about in the chapter, and some things that we can consider about the Sabbath that do make sense in our lives today. The Sabbath, as far as what it was a deliberate time where the Jewish people were supposed to literally do nothing. They were supposed to let God take control. It was also a time where, again, they could set that time apart, where they could work on and develop their love relationship with God, where they would honor Him through the sacrificial system, where they would focus on what it is He would have for them to do individually. Each person had a responsibility to work, and we still do that today, to work and to work hard. But God had set up a time for His people to be able to focus on Him. Now, again, like I said, it's not for today, because it was just a shadow of what Christ would offer to us as far as His peace and His rest. But when you think about it, it's a set time. It was, and this is what it was before. It was a set time where they could devote specifically to God, where they could find their rest and their peace and their delight specifically in Him. That was the point of it. And when we think about it today, again, going back to the whole idea of your devotional life, when it goes into taking that time to prioritize what it is that God would want you to do, it's important that we take the aspect of that dedicated time and that we move that into our lives now. Each of us need to have some portion of our day, of our time, that we are focusing completely on God. Again, it doesn't have to be a full day. It doesn't have to be from sunup on Friday to sundown on Saturday. I'm sorry, from sundown on Friday. That was the way it traditionally was. It was that set period of time. It doesn't have to be that time or that amount. But what it has to be, again, is a priority, something that we focus on, something that we do, something that we make as an aspect. Again, you can work out when that is going to take place in your own life. You can work out, again, all of those details. But the point is that it actually happens. See, it's okay to take time off from all of the stuff that we have to do in order to be with God. And that's kind of hard to do because some of us have a lot of things that have to get done. But I think the point that God makes is that when we place our faith and our trust and our rest and our peace in Him, somehow He makes a way for everything else to fall into place. Again, it's a hard thing to kind of get into our minds that this is how it works, but God requires us and asks of us to trust in Him. And if we trust in Him, He will provide for our needs, and He will provide that everything that we need to happen actually takes place and actually happens. So when you think about these two different aspects, these things that we're talking about, it's important, again, that we take that time to rest in God, that we take that time to delight in Him, that we take that time to know and understand His Word. But the point is, again, making it a priority to be silent, to be still, but also realizing that it's okay to stop for a minute and to reflect upon and work upon your own relationship with God. It's a priority that has to be and should be in each one of our lives. Because as Christians, this whole idea of being a Christian is not something that we do. It's who we are. And in order to get to know who we're supposed to be, we need to prioritize and make that time to get to know who Jesus Christ is, who we're modeling. Let's pray together. Father God, we just thank you so much for who you are. We thank you for your love. Lord, I just pray that you would help each of us to dedicate the proper amount of time, Lord, in our relationship with you, that we would focus on you, that we would live according to your will and your word. Lord, that we would just really begin to know even more intimately who you are and how you love us. Lord, please watch over us. Please keep us safe. Please keep us on the right path, Lord. Help us to honor you. In Jesus' name, amen.